Cliffcentral.com.
I've got something important to tell you.
Cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to Wedding Central with myself, Kylie De Villiers, and my fabulous co-host, Ntombi Nhlapo.
What up, girl?
So today I'm playing a bit of both, eh?
Yes, today you're both our host and our guest, as fabulous. You all know. Kylie Collins, now Kylie De Villiers, owns the company The Wedding Specialist. And today's conversation really is about flowers and how flowers can really impact your wedding and things that you need to consider when you obviously are going to use flowers for your wedding. Mm. So Kylie, tell us. I'm a first-time bride. I don't know anything about the wedding industry. Dorf, nothing. Where do I start? Now I'm just engaged. How do I start putting together maybe an idea or something for my wedding? What advice do
you have? So obviously we're talking about flowers now and yes. Obviously a little bit about the styling side of
sure.
things. Just to put it out there, where our flowers come from.
Right.
Not many people know, okay, yes, they come from a farmer, but the logistics of getting those flowers, we have an auction.
Right.
And it's basically works on supply and demand.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to choosing your dates and looking at the types of flowers, you're looking at the colors. You've also got to take into consideration the amount of weddings that would be happening in and around that time
date.
Of the year.
Sure.
So, you know, you look at now, currently, we've just had Women's Day. The mm-hmm. flowers are through the roof, first of all, because everyone wants to buy their special woman in their life some flowers. And also, it fell on a Tuesday.
Right.
So we've had weddings on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday.
Yeah.
So the logistics of getting that, the florists wouldn't have been, for instance, the people getting married on Monday,
right?
The florists would have had to buy on Saturday or even Friday, but then they're also competing with all the florists buying for Women's Day.
Sure.
So the demand for flowers is that much higher.
Okay.
So
that's going to drive my costs.
Yes. And it doesn't matter who you are, most of the florists, decor stylists are actually getting their flowers from one central place.
Yeah.
We have the Multiflora, which is an auction that happens, and it's only based in Johannesburg. It's one of the only, it's the only auction in Africa like it.
Right.
It is based on the
dollar.
It's based on the Dutch clock system in Holland.
Oh, okay.
And it's a fantastic place.
Right.
But I always say you have to have balls to buy on the market
right.
because it's predominantly a male market.
Yeah.
Generally, males buying.
Oh,
the
that, yeah, there's that are not many. On the auction.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh,
so,
I see.
I think a lot of the reason why there's so many men doing it, men are buying with their heads, not with their hearts.
Yeah.
And I know, I mean, I sit on the market.
Ooh, the worst.
It does get quite stressful. But the thing is, you see something nice. I do. I'm first one to do
beautiful.
It. Oh, they're so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, peonies are coming into season. And can I have a bucket?
Yeah.
When you actually don't really need them.
You're right.
So the farmers basically will send all their flowers onto Multiflora, and then they act as an agent, and then it works on a.
And then tell me, does that drive costs? Because of course, because now Multiflora is the only thing that's on the market.
Mm.
Most of the other countries in Africa are dealing with the dollar,
mm.
so we're competing with people that are buying on the dollar, and we're with our rand. So our, you know, for and this is what I want people to understand is that when you see on Instagram and you see all these weddings, you know, in Nigeria or overseas or whatever, you have to understand that for them flowers aren't as expensive.
Yeah.
We're buying with our rand.
Yes. You know, we've got a couple of Angolan buyers sitting on our auction. They actually live here in South Africa, and they literally buy the flowers and they pack them and fly them. It's only a 4-hour flight.
Oh, okay.
So yes, we are now having to contest with the likes of an Angolan buyer that is coming here with dollars.
Right.
And then we're having to pay with rands.
With our rand,
obviously they are also paying with rands, but they've
of course,
got the
that exchange,
the exchange on their side.
Yeah.
So you've got that to play as well. And a lot of our, flowers are also being exported.
Okay.
And then
what, now that I know that, okay, now flowers and the time of year, and I need to figure out my dates and stuff, what particular flowers, like what bud, what flowers are expensive in particular? Like are roses expensive in comparison to like proteas?
Obviously with the time of the year, roses round about Valentine's Day are generally quite high, especially your white and your red. White all year round is generally the expensive flower, because you look at any wedding,
right,
the base color is either white or cream,
right.
And generally mostly white. So you do find that the flower, the white flowers are generally most
of any kind of flower.
Lilies.
Really?
Lilies can go anything from 7 to 15 rand a stem.
Okay.
And, you know, that
and that's everything, St. Joseph's, Calla, everything.
So, yeah, it'll fluctuate. Okay. So it just depends. And it's very important to know the type of lily you're looking for. Right. Don't go for a Calla lily, which is like, exactly. They call it in Afrikaans a fark ore. Because it looks like a, and I laughed one day and I had an Afrikaans bride come to me and she says, no, she wants fark ore. And I'm like, shit, you know, like, what is fark ore? Pig's ears. And I'm like, okay, cool. It's an arum lily, you know. And there's so many different types of lilies. Right. You know, a bride will say she wants St. Joseph lilies. The chances that she actually wants St. Joseph lilies is very slim. She's talking about the Casablanca lilies that are nice and they open bright, like big white stars, and they smell so nice. Mm. So, you know, from a bride, if you're a bride getting married and you're looking at, you know, what type of flowers to use, do a little bit of homework.
Right.
Go and look in onto Multiflora's website. And they literally have a chart where it tells you the availability of the flowers.
Okay. Now I'm shopping. Mm. I've done my research. I'm shopping. Now I've made an appointment with the wedding specialist. I want to come in. I want to do a consultation for my flowers. What do you want me to come with? Like, how do I come prepared so that this meeting is progressive?
Okay. I think the most difficult bride to deal with is somebody who doesn't particularly know what she wants. Mm. So I would encourage you to do a little bit of homework. And I know there are some florists out there that they absolutely hate Pinterest.
Right.
But we've also got to understand that not everybody lives in a creative environment like we do. And obviously, as floral designers, we want to do new things. And we don't want to do something that everybody else has seen, you know.
Right.
But if you look at an accountant, she can't really visualize. She needs to see something. So go out and have a look at your Pinterest. Look at your magazines. There's some great magazines coming out with great style shoots.
100%. You know, we also have the wedding expo coming up where you can get a whole lot of inspiration.
Yeah.
That's happening the 27th and the 28th at the Dome in Northgate.
Yeah, of August.
Yeah.
And even our students from the SA School of Weddings, they're doing their final assignment. So they actually have to do a table. And for the brides, come and visit and come and look at the different types of tables.
And gain inspiration.
Yeah. And then tell us what you like. So it's quite interesting to see because, you know, obviously the students don't really get given a brief for this particular assignment.
They don't ever get a brief. Theme or anything.
Yeah. So there's 30 odd different tables. Started with some idea.
Yeah.
And it's really great to see when you see the public going around the expo to see there's something for everybody in that table.
Right.
So it's quite nice for people to actually be able to physically see it and experience it, which is quite nice.
Okay.
But from coming in to meet with a floral designer, just do your homework, understand the colors that you're looking at. Maybe you need a little bit of advice on that. Your designer should be able to advise you very easily.
Sure.
Find out what you tell her or him what you like and what you don't like.
Sure.
Very importantly, tell him what you don't like.
Yeah,
you don't want her or him to do a table mock-up or design for you with Gerberas or the Barberton daisies. I always call them the Mr. Price flowers. maybe you absolutely hate those.
Sure.
Tell them. Yeah. Rather tell them what you don't like so that you're not going back and forward when it comes to your table designs and things like that.
100%. You know, just to add to that, also you must understand that a mood board or pictures or whatever don't have to be the only thing that you bring in. You can bring in textures.
Samples of your bridesmaids' dresses.
100%.
Maybe you have a bedspread.
Sure.
That is your favorite bedspread or something that you wallpaper that you maybe put on. Home magazines are also great to draw inspiration
for. I was just about to say.
You know, I was at a Decorex and it was great for people to walk around and see the different, we've got so much creativity out there.
Yeah.
And it's also important that the brides actually pinpoint what is unique to them and let it come through into their wedding.
Yeah, 100%. I also always encourage my clients to actually speak to their grooms as well. It's becoming more and more where it's not just about the
grooms
bride.
Have great ideas.
Yeah, and what's nice about it is that it doesn't become this feminine affair.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you'll find that brides just vomit pink all over their wedding. And I'm thinking, I know you like pink. I really know you like pink. It's how you do it and what other colors you incorporate.
Sure.
Like, you can have pink and navy blue suits. Sure. Gorgeous, gorgeous. Mm. And it brings a little bit of masculinity into the wedding. And remember, as a bride, you're not the only one getting married. You do have your counterpart who's getting married too. And he's got certain things
he also
that
wants to enjoy the day, etc. Feel like it was just...
I mean, I really don't think... I really hate that whole thing of you putting a bright pink tie. But I suppose it's everyone to themselves.
Yeah, 100%. Now I'm trying to understand, what if I'm not meeting a floral person? I'm a DIY bride. Can I go to the market and buy my own? Like, what do you suggest? How do you suggest I go about it?
At Multiflora, there's like a mall of flowers, a floral, like agent, should I call it.
Yeah.
And there's some great ones out there. And they'll give you advice and they'll be able to do your flowers. But from that side, they don't, you've got to, as a DIY, you've got a bride, you've got to look at the logistics.
Okay.
It's, okay, you've got now a floral, like a florist doing your flowers. How are you going to get those flowers from the florist to the venue? Who is going to set up your tables?
And also, what time are they arriving? People forget that we actually start setting up 6-7 o'clock in the morning. We're already at work.
You know, you look at from my side, our team, if a venue allows us in at 8 o'clock, say it takes 45 minutes to get to the venue, realistically, you want to go and get some coffee before we go off, it takes us a good hour and a half to pack the vehicle. Yeah. We can't pack the vehicles the night before because otherwise it's just the heat and it needs air and the flowers need room to breathe.
Right.
So you think about it, it's 6:30, quarter past six, we like starting to pack the vehicles. Then it's bouquets and buttonholes and checklists. So our staff, generally, if we have to be at a wedding at 8 o'clock in the morning, we start at 5 o'clock in the morning. Mm. You know, and it's the logistics side of that, packing your toolboxes and your checklists. And it actually blows my mind to think, yes, there are brides out there that want to do DIY. And I encourage it if you are an exceptionally organized person, but I absolutely discourage it if you are wanting to have a really great day on, you know.
To be honest, I wouldn't actually do it. I disagree. Hey, I discourage it altogether.
I know it's so difficult for me to sit here. I'm a florist and a stylist. I just don't know how people, I know from my side, I do it every weekend and Saturday, Sunday, Friday, whatever. And I'm exhausted after doing a setup. Sure. I cannot even begin to imagine what you feel like, and you've got to go through the night and you've got to dance and you're going to be happy.
With
and
the
whatever.
Emotion of being excited and or giddy and all of that stuff. I wouldn't advise it, number one, because decor, I don't care who says what, is a super high priority on everybody's list.
Yes.
That is what the ladies focus on. Between the decor, the dress and the cake, those are like the high flyers for them. And if it's such a big stress point and something goes wrong, you have the potential to spoil your day forever because that becomes your memory.
Yeah.
So for me, I always say to my clients, I don't care how minimalistic, and we'll get into that now about talking, you know, how you describe or minimalistic. But, you know, I don't care how simple your decor will be. Let's get somebody to do it. Let's rather get an expert and not take the chance because you run such a high risk. What if your flowers don't open? You don't know how to treat flowers.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about lilies. Lilies can be a nightmare flower. I have sung to them. I have spoken to them. I have prayed with them. We have put them under heaters, lights, black bags. I don't know how, you know, just to get, because you know what, you have a dip in the temperature when you weren't expecting it. We have to check the weather as and the conditioning of those flowers. There is so much conditioning of flowers before you even start to arrange them. And that a bride doesn't really understand.
No, exactly. And that's what I'm saying, is that get an expert who knows what they're doing. Even if you're just going to put orchids and moss or whatever on the table, get somebody who knows what they're doing to make it look as great as it can possibly look.
A simple thing. You might think, oh, well, a buttonhole is just a single rose. Yes, it's a single rose, but it's the mechanics of that.
Yes.
You know, you can't just tape cut up a stem and off you go and put a pin in it. You've got to wire it. You've got to condition that flower.
Why is it important to wire it, Kylie?
Why? Mm. Because the guys get a big hug. Everyone's like so excited to see them. And everyone gives them a hug and their heads break.
Yeah.
So you have to wire those flowers so that you've got longevity of it as well. You know, the buttonholes and the corsages, you don't think, like, a bride might not think of who is actually putting these on.
Right.
You've got to ask your florist. Are you the type of florist who's going to stay there right up until ceremony?
Right.
Or are you going to be there just for setup and then they go? Most florists will do that, but they will also stay if the bride requires them to stay. I also, it drives me insane when you see photos or videos and you can see the buttonholes or the corsages haven't been put on properly.
Yeah.
You can see the pins and they've been skew and oh gosh, rather don't do them. But yeah, it's just there's those type of things you've got to start to think of.
100%. I mean, I'm asking, please, to the
go
listeners.
For it.
Yeah, no, as the listeners, like I know this information. I'm asking on behalf of you as somebody who doesn't know nothing. So now, Carly, now you've mentioned quite a couple of things in terms of the decor elements that I need to consider, like my buttonholes and my corsages and stuff. I'm a DIY bride. I'm doing it myself. What areas? It's not just about the table. I think people forget that.
Yeah,
it's not just the table.
It's not. And I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're a DIY bride 100%. Or you are getting somebody to do it.
Yes.
I will often have a client come in and say, I've got 1,000 or 2,000 rand a table. That's my budget. So I kind of quickly do the sums. Okay, you've got 100 people. You've got, you know, 10,000 rand.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stop there.
Right.
You've got buttonholes, you've got corsages, you've got bouquets for the bridesmaids,
confetti.
You've got confetti, you've got decor down the aisle.
Your main table.
Your main table. So, yes, you may have 10,000 rand, but actually you do not have 1,000 rand a table.
Yeah.
I do feel that clients should also be honest with their supplier.
Sure.
They're not there to take you for a ride.
100%.
Rather, say, this is what we've budgeted for. Is it realistic? Can you work with it? And what can you do within that budget?
Yeah, I agree with that completely. Also, don't try and stipulate how much you want to spend per table.
Mm.
Rather just say, this is my spend for decor and flowers.
Mm.
And then from there work and then figure out your budget. Because there's also things like delivery, after hours delivery, collection, setup.
You know,
those things you don't cater
for.
That's money.
You know, we are sometimes getting to venues at 1-2 o'clock in the morning.
To clear, hey?
And we have to bring in double the amount of staff as setup because we had that much longer time to set up. But now a venue will stipulate to you, okay, you've got to come in and you've got an hour to break down.
Yeah.
It's taken 4 or 5 hours to set that wedding up. Now you've only got an hour to break
down.
And you've got to repack it. I mean, we've had days before the wedding packing
to pack
all
and
the
wrap
stock
and bubble wrap it,
and, you know, all that type of thing. But now we've only got an hour and we're doing that at 2-3 o'clock in the morning.
Sure.
And I have personally experienced cops pulling us over wanting to take a bribe.
Yeah.
And all we are trying to do is clear from a wedding and do our job.
Yeah, and,
I'll never forget the one day I came home was shaking because the cops had stopped us and whatever else. My husband was so angry. We went to the police station.
Yeah.
And the head of the station actually said, "Well, young lady, you shouldn't be running. You shouldn't be driving around at that time of night."
Jesus,
anyway,
come on.
The problem is that is our job.
Yeah, that's
and,
my work.
You know,
yeah.
I do have a little bit of an irk sometimes with venues who do stay who do
force
and implement that you have to break down that night. And I know I'm going to get racked over the knuckles for this, but the reality is a lot of these businesses in flowers and decor are run by women.
Yeah.
And us driving around 2-3 o'clock in the morning
is not safe. Not with a truck as well.
I know. And the reality is that, but we have to do it.
Yeah, 100%. And that's another aspect that people don't think of when you're doing your own.
Can you imagine? You want to go and do shenanay and now you have to clean up.
Exactly. Can you imagine? And also everybody's drinking it. So your bridesmaids, I can guarantee you, will not stay to help you pack
up
your stuff.
We never, like, from my company policy is that we never break down until, like, the last guests have left. But there was a situation where we were at a venue and they were having to do a through the night setup because it was an early morning start
wedding.
Of a wedding.
Yeah.
So we had to, there was like 5 or 10 guests left and they were sitting at the bar and that was okay for us to start breaking down because it's separate from the actual venue. And I was in the truck, like, packing and I had some drunk guys, like, lock us into the
truck. Oh my god.
And now we're like, okay, right, thank god we had some of the team
still in
and we could say, guys, please let us out
gosh.
The truck, you know. And
then
you have some of the guests want to, like, take stuff home and
yeah 100%. So, and that's another thing, breakages, right? Breakages are a huge thing that you need to consider, and you'll get it back after it.
But you know that, and that from for brides, you have to expect that you are going to pay a breakage deposit,
100%,
and
is only fair if you think about it.
It's only fair. We're going with I've often gone with a good 200,000-400,000 rand sure. worth of stock. You know, we use glass base plates.
Sure.
They're about 80-90 rand a base plate. You lose 10 of those. Yeah. You know, there you go. Type yeah. thing. So you know, it's just there's a lot of money involved in weddings. And the stock is very expensive, and not often can you one if you buy a particular item. It's not always that you can replenish it. You may have we've had to buy it from overseas, and then it needs to be shipped on a container. I look at our crystal candelabras. We do not dry hire our crystal candelabras. Brides will say she'll phone and she says I'm doing my flowers myself, and I want to dry hire the crystal candelabras. Mm. We dry hire a lot of things, but unfortunately our crystal stock we don't because it's just too fragile, and it's to try and get it in when you have to import it in on.
And also, they're so high on trend right now, so you actually can't.
And they're so, you know, I look at everyone will say, "Oh, I don't want to do a candelabra, or I don't want to do high arrangements." The reality is, I don't ever think candelabras are going to go out. Maybe
ever.
The reason being is that candle and that ambient lighting just creates such a mood in a venue. Oh. Maybe you want to go and do high arrangements. Maybe alternate. Some high and then do a candelabra. I always find that a wedding where we've just done masses of flowers at the top and no candles at the top actually just doesn't do the rest of the arrangements justice.
I couldn't agree with you more. For me, candles for me brings the romance, and I think a wedding is such that's for me is like the epitome of you see weddings come right up there with Valentine's Day. They are romantic, it's almost like cheese all over the place. Just like vomit love everywhere. So for
that's
me,
what it's about.
But that's why I'm saying, I couldn't agree with you more. And you know me, I mean, the weddings that we've done together, we light it up.
Yeah.
Okay, set the place on fire.
But also with that, you've got to be careful of your venue.
Right.
Maybe it's the middle of summer. And you absolutely love candles. It might candles actually create a lot of heat.
Yeah.
So if you love lots of candles, maybe just double check if your venue has aircon. If it doesn't have aircon, and they're just relying on fans and stuff like that, your candles are going to drip wax on your tables, and it is going to create a lot of extra heat, which is not really nice.
Yeah, for your guests, they want to be comfortable. Mm. But Carly, now let's go back to flowers. What is the process, and what is fair? Like, for example, something that people don't really cater for is something like a mock-up.
Mm.
I mean, I have brides often, and I have to just, you know, re-educate them and say, remember that a mock-up is exactly the same as a hair trial or a makeup trial or whatever.
Yeah.
They are using product which costs money, therefore it is valid for them to charge us for a markup. Yeah. So some people feel bewildered
that you
have to pay for a markup. But
you know what? There's two. It's a double-edged sword. At the moment, there's some designers that refuse to do markups,
right?
Because
at all without payment or just.
No, they do not do mock-ups. They only do the...
How does that even work?
Yeah, I must be honest, I'm not comfortable with that.
I wouldn't,
and I don't
wouldn't
ever want
it.
A bride to walk in on the day of her wedding and say, I hate it.
Yeah. And the reason why is because the change factor at a mock-up is so high.
Yeah.
Because we were designing in theory.
Yes.
And you also bought into the idea in theory. But sometimes you walk in and you're like, oh, actually, no, Ntombi, please move. Carly, please, do you have something higher? Do you have a different shaped vase or whatever? There's
and
so
that's
many
where
changes.
You get to with a mock table, you get to actually experience the table and the ambience of it. We generally like to do our mock-ups in the evening, or we make sure all the curtains are closed so that because if they're having an evening wedding, you want to see the candlelight coming up. And also the bride can start to then fine-tune her table that it's not a copy and paste of somebody else's table.
Sure.
That's one thing we will never do with the wedding specialist is that a bride will come to me and say, oh, this company did this markup. We will never, ever, ever, ever copy that. It's not what we do. We want to do our design. And I also say to clients, when you come for a markup, I want you to come with an open mind.
Yeah.
And you've come to me because you like the style, you get our vibe when we've had our first meeting. And, you know, if you like my personality in the first meeting, let my creativity come out for your mock-up.
Sure.
Come with an open mind. Let me be creative. And I think that is the biggest challenge floral designers have is that the brides put their floral designers into boxes. And you must do this, and you must have one pot of flowers on this side and one pot of flowers on the other side. And I think if I can speak for any florist out there, to the brides, give your floral designer a little bit of creativity 100%. And license to do stuff. When it comes to main table, I have never ever said to my bride, this is exactly what we are going to do.
Yeah.
I say to her, if you like this, once we've done your mock-up and you've approved your mock-up, you need to now let me have the creative license of coming up with something beautiful for your main table.
Sure.
And that's when we come up with the most beautiful. And I mean, we've done a couple of weddings with you, and your brides are like, oh my God, I did never expect that, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where we want to push the boundaries. 100%. We want to give you something different.
I mean, the whole idea around a mock-up, it's not like a cash baby of the wedding industry. It really
isn't. Costs us more money than it actually.
100%.
I mean, I've done it often where... Yes, we charged between 1,000 and 1,500 rand a mock-up, and that's pretty much an average. But I've done one where we've charged 1,000 rand and the flowers in itself cost 3,000 rand.
Right.
You know, and there we've got to now take that 1,500 rand where we have overspent, or we've had to accommodate more flowers, and we've got to build that into costs elsewhere.
And I think it's important that you mention the fact that come with an open mind. I think one thing you need to understand, and for me as a designer, when I design concepts around weddings, I do go into detail, but I always say the florists are the expert. Mm. I'm only doing it from a styling point of view. Mm. And sometimes when they're working with the flowers, etc., they'll say, okay, this is going to work better, or we can do this or whatever. And I'm happy to take... Mm. You have to understand that a mock-up, it's almost a play session.
Mm.
It's possible. It's very, very possible that you could walk into the mock-up and hate it.
Mm.
But that doesn't mean it's the end of the appointment. Step outside, have a cup of coffee. Mm. They can rearrange. If you're doing
it,
they
should be able to pull other vases, candle holders, all of that.
And that's why I advise a lot of my clients. Ideally, yes, you'd like to do your mock-up at the venue, but it's actually to your benefit if you do it at the florist's place, whether it's a warehouse or office or studio, whatever the case is. Do it there, because should anything go wrong, it's easy for them to pull stock and say, well, we've got this as an option or that as an option. You know, when you go to the venue, they only carry that much stock with them. And
it's crazy.
And then you have to pay again for another one.
And you know, like when I do my teaching for the SA School of Weddings, I have to teach the process of a mock-up.
Mm.
And, you know, I've done an exercise on scheduling with them. Do you know a mock-up for one client can take 6 to 8 hours?
I can believe
when it goes traveling to the market to get the extra flowers. We're not buying those particular flowers for your mock-up on auction.
Right.
We're having to buy like bits and bobs everywhere, because we're not buying in bulk.
Yeah, it's not a big order.
And then it's the collection of decor items that maybe the florist doesn't have, and it's now starting to put everything together, and it can take that long. It's a whole day. Now, you as a bride, look how much you can do in a day, and maybe you get paid an hourly rate, or maybe you get paid a daily rate. And now a bride, now we're charging, say, 1,000 rand or 1,500 rand for a mock-up, and that includes your flowers. We're actually doing a day's work for Mahala, basically.
Yeah.
And if I can give a little bit more of advice in terms of who to bring to your mock-up, personally, I would just bring yourself and your fiancé. When it comes to moms and bridesmaids, it's all great. But the difficult part for us as designers is that we want to listen to what you want, not necessarily what everybody else is wanting. We've listened to you in your first meeting, so we've conceptualized your table. They may not have been there in the first meeting, so they don't understand how we've conceptualized your table to that point.
Another thing with that, and I agree completely with you, the issue becomes, and I think people struggle with this factor the most, is number one, you might not be paying with your, you might not be paying for your wedding, so you feel, okay,
that
mom
you have to
and
bring
dad
mom.
And so and so and so forth. But to be honest, people can't help but like what they like.
Mm.
I don't like what you like.
No.
And I don't like your pink. And I don't like your whatever the case is. So immediately when I see your table, I might be like, it's not going to work. But if that's what you want, it can very easily get lost, and it makes you so insecure and it becomes a stress point.
Yeah.
So I couldn't agree with you more when you say, if at all possible, try to just come with you and your boo and come see and play around and be happy with it, and then tell everyone that it's a surprise.
And if you do want to bring your bridal party or your parents, rather talk to them before you even go.
Yes.
Say, mom, dad, what your sisters, so whatever. So? Listen, I've sat with Carly. We've spent a good hour and a half going through what I like and what I dislike, and she's going to conceptualize something for me. Please just take that into consideration when we're looking at this mock-up.
100%.
And I always let the bride walk in first with her partner, so that I can see her face.
Right.
And it's amazing that the brides will fall in love with what we've done, and then it's somebody
who's picked apart.
Really?
100%. And one of those moments are like some of the moments that I live for. Like, you cannot describe that happiness
amazing experience.
One of those moments, and you can't redo that. It's either she likes it or she doesn't.
And then another little bit of advice is if you're doing a mock-up and and the candles have been lit and the ambience has been set, and now on the day of the wedding, you may walk into your venue
do
at
not
like
do it.
10, don't 11, do it, 12 it. O'clock during the day while the team
don't
is setting up.
Do it,
people
do
are
it.
Sometimes like that in Tumbi. You can't help it. But what you've got to remember is that you've got to remember the time that you saw the candles lit. You know, brides will walk in at 12 o'clock and they'll be like, oh, I don't think we put enough flowers on. Or is there enough? You know what? The candles haven't been lit. They're only going to be lit 10 to 15 minutes before the guests walk in.
You know what? I you know, when I first started and I used to let the bride or whoever come in while they were getting ready or whatever. And I just realized it actually just creates more anxiousness for you. It's a stress point for you. So from now on, I speak to my family and the bride and the groom and everyone beforehand. And I said, for your enjoyment, don't come. Because
just before the guests are good. That's quite a nice one.
Once the candles are lit and just before they take their break and then they have a glass of champagne and I get what you mean, but I always say don't come during setup because you don't know where we are.
Yeah.
And we literally could be half slaughtering each other at that point because something's gone wrong. It's true. You can be chaos in there. Do you know what I mean?
It comes down to trusting your supplier.
Exactly.
If you do not trust your supplier, then that's not the supplier
then
for
don't
you.
Don't do it. And that's the thing. That's a good point to actually raise, Carly. And I always tell my clients, one of the services I offer is that, matching suppliers is actually a science. I don't go with a supplier based. Yes, I want their skill and their product to be great or whatever the case is. But it's so important that you guys fundamentally like each other.
Yeah.
Because if people like each other, you trust them.
Yeah.
And also, chances are that person will be willing, should push come to shove, to go above and beyond for you. But if they don't like you or if you're mean or whatever the case is, then they'll just be like, oh, well, that's what she wants and that's what she gets.
And that's the reality. Is if you are a difficult bride, okay, maybe I should word it differently. If you are unreasonable...
Irrational,
then you are going to find that it doesn't matter whether it's the floral person, the photographer, the venue. If you are that type of person, there things are bound to go wrong.
Yeah.
People are actually nervous.
Yeah.
They are tense because they love what they do, and they know what they're doing.
And it's the pressure of the people. We don't get a redo. If we fuck this up, we fuck up your wedding forever.
And we don't want
that. We don't want that. We want you to have a beautiful day.
Like, we don't spend hours and give up our lives for weddings because we want to mess up your wedding.
Fine.
You know, we really want people to have the best day ever.
Sure.
And I think if you are unreasonably difficult, it does become very challenging. I find it very much when it comes to the bouquets. When we try and do the bridal bouquet, if she has been exceptionally difficult and it's just you kind of butt head sometimes. It's very difficult to do that bouquet because I always say I like to stand in a mirror and I like to feel that bride, not physically, okay?
I was just like,
but just feel the emotions of what we've gone through in the last 6 to 8 months
because
we're booking. What have we gone through? And I want to create beauty for her.
Right, right.
So it does become difficult, especially with a bridal bouquet, to
know what I say? And I think this is a law and I know many industry people, I'm sure you agree as well.
Yeah.
Bad bride, bad luck. It's just what it is.
Yeah.
Because if you're mean and you're unreasonable and, there's just no pleasing you or whatever, either the weather won't play along or this will be late or something breaks or the truck is in an accident. Look, bad bride, bad luck.
I was chatting to somebody, I was interviewing somebody yesterday and she was saying that, she had a bride so difficult. She was so pedantic when it came to walking down the aisle. Her dad on the way walking down the aisle stepped on her dress. She stopped her dad in the ceremony and said,
"Oh my, when
we're doing it
watching,
again."
No, you joke. Oh my God.
Like, no, come on.
That's
but anyway,
crazy. So,
no, but you know what? I just think, you know what? Your suppliers are there. They love doing weddings. You know, I've been in the industry for now 14 years and you see people, you see suppliers come and go. And there's not, you know, the suppliers that have been out there for a long period of time, they are exceptionally passionate. And the newbies are fabulous. They are fabulous. But sometimes come 2, 3, 4 years down the line, there's a lot of people give up at about 4 or 5 years down the line because it's taken too much toll on their personal lives and whatever else. They still love what they do, but it's just the personal, their personal lives that take a toll.
Because the truth is, you know, for everyone listening, it's very important that you understand that weddings is the biggest emotional tax that you will ever invest in. Like, you think marriage is hard, be in the wedding industry and you'll realize it's so hard because think of yourself as a bride and think of how much you demand of your supplier and think that you're not our only client.
Yeah.
We want to make you feel that way, like you're, you know, top priority in it, but you're not our only client. So your demands and everything, it's taxing.
I bumped into a client of mine. They got married a couple of, like 2 years ago, I think, and they've now got a baby. And I said, how are you doing? And they're like, no, they're good and whatever else. And he says, Carly, are you still doing weddings? And I'm like, yes. I'm like, I'm in it. I'm dying in weddings type of thing. And he says, Carly, I actually don't know. And my husband was there. He says, it was the most... like, I actually don't know how you do this. You know, you were the best thing that ever came to us.
Sure.
But the stress and the emotional side of it. He even said to my husband, how do you handle somebody who works in the wedding industry? He says, oh, we're all a little bit crazy anyway. So,
And
he just said, you know, I take my hat off to your wife because she's a very strong-willed
person. Yeah, it's traumatic. I've had somebody describe the whole experience as traumatic. And I do not blame you because the emotional ride that comes with weddings, it's a lot, especially if you don't know what you're doing.
And if you don't get the right suppliers on board.
That's actually where it goes terribly wrong.
You know, and maybe it comes down to a cost thing. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, I struggle a little bit with my staff on this in terms of they will have a bride and she'll come in and say, I've only got 10,000 rand for flowers. You know what? And she's maybe got 200 people.
Sure, sure.
You know, and I get that. It's not a lot for flowers. It doesn't really get you far for your wedding flowers and decor. But at the end of the day, it's a lot of money to that particular person. Maybe you want to have this big lavish wedding and it's like big Preston Bailey type of flowers and Karen Tran type of flowers. Then you're going to have to save for it.
Yeah, 100%.
You know?
And it's. I think we've said this before in one of the podcasts that, you know, the truth of the matter is weddings are expensive. Mm. I always say stationery is a cost that people think is the smallest cost. Yeah. But when you actually start breaking down your the design, the embellishments, my envelope, my laser cutting, you know, when you start looking at your stationery quote, and people always think, oh, it's going to be like a 4,000 rand spend in total. Oh, you get into it and it actually is. And that's why weddings are a costly. Like Carly's saying,
and
it's
costly for a reason because I've currently got another client who decided to do a lot of the elements herself. She's putting lace on mason jars and she's doing all of these things.
Wow.
And, you know, she's supposed to be having a final meeting tonight. And she just phoned and she said, Carly, listen, I'm not ready to give you all the stuff. I didn't realize how long all of this stuff takes. And at the end of the day, you know, time is money.
Yes, 100%.
You know, if we were lawyers, we would be charging per hour. Can you imagine in Tornby that we would actually charge per hour?
We'd be out of business.
We wouldn't be able to. Wouldn't be a wedding suppliers. 100%. Because we can never charge for our time.
100%.
And I think,
And it's across the board. But getting back to the whole flowers and the styling of your wedding. Carly, what if I don't go with flowers? Because now, after this podcast, yes, those flowers are expensive. But if I don't go for flowers, what do you think my options are? Because sometimes people will say, okay, well, let's do everything candles.
Have you bought a candle from a surprise
stage? Right, exactly.
Candles are flippin' expensive.
I'm sure everybody knows now that we're in the age of Eskom. I mean, we all know what cost.
Yeah. I mean, you buy a 15-centimeter candle, is 45 rand type thing, you know?
100%.
And then what is that? That looks like what on the table?
Exactly.
So, you know what? Candles are actually a very huge cost. I mean, I look at what I spend on candles and I've got a wholesale candle supplier and we spend thousands and thousands of rand.
Yeah.
I mean, on any given wedding, we can spend 5 to 10,000 rand on candles.
100%. And that's my point, is that I'm going to use the word cheap because that's actually what people don't don't try to be budget savvy when it comes to decor, because you're actually going to catch yourself short. Because with decor styling, I always say the wow is in the detail. So even if you say, I'm going to do all candles, you can't put just three candles on the table. Do you understand? Yeah. You need to think of your heights, your levels, your style, and your base plate, your linen, da da da. There's so many things that go into creating this whole thing when it comes to weddings. Yeah. So you really need to think all out. And that's why it's important to just get somebody who knows what they're doing. Yeah. Don't risk it.
And it comes with so many factors. Like, you know, you've got you look at any DIY bride, they're not really thinking of what is happening after the wedding. There's the cleanup staff, there's the cleaning, there's the returning, there's, you know, all of that. So I do feel that it's absolutely vital. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're getting married, that you get somebody on your side to set up. Maybe you want to do the flowers yourself. God, heaven help
Please
you.
Please don't.
But anyway, maybe you want to do the flowers yourself. Rather have somebody come and set that up.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure,
don't do it on the day of your wedding.
100%. That's, and also don't think that decor ends with flowers. You have to you have to think of your vases, your candlestick holder, your linen, your base plate, your chair.
It
your
goes
chair
from
detail.
From when they enter the actual venue,
yes,
to walking down to the chapel, to the pre-reception area. It's not just the actual reception venue. There's so many different elements that you 100%. Need to look at. So we hope you've enjoyed this podcast. There is so much more we're going to talk about in terms of flowers and decor as the podcasts go on. And I do want to remind you about the beautiful tables that are going to be on display on the 27th and 28th of August. There's a competition for all the brides out there. You can come and vote for your favorite table, and you could stand a chance to win 2,000 rands worth of decor hire from the SA School of Weddings. And we'd really like to meet you and get a little bit of feedback on how you're enjoying our podcast.
Awesome stuff. Thank you so much, Kylie, for coming through. Just a reminder that please engage with us on our social media. We love all the comments and stuff. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, as well as Twitter as Extravaganza. As Wedding Central SA. Leave us your comments and be happy and respond to you. Please also don't forget that our show is proudly brought to you by The Wedding Expo and the South African Wedding Inspirations magazine. Catch us next time. Cliff Central. The revolution. I've got something important to tell you. CliffCentral.com.